Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel. I'm
Chris.
And it's time to get classy. It's a very special classy.
It's the classiest.
It's the classies. This is the second annual classies.
The second annual classies where we give people awards that we don't actually have trophies for. Maybe one day.
You know what? If you get in contact for us, winners of classies, we will give you a trophy.
Oh, yeah. Like, the winners listen to this and be like, I won an award. Like, I won a physical award for this. Yeah, we'd definitely get it, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if it's just a bronze toothbrush or something. I don't know.
I think bronzing is kind of expensive.
Oh, sorry.
I think it's going to be cheaper.
Gold-plated?
I think it'd be cheaper to buy an actual, like, gold Little cheaper. League trophy than to go and, like, bronze and gold plate something.
Well, I was trying to be classy, Joel. I like to have nice things.
You're giving away nice things. You're not having them.
Well, you know what I mean.
Wrestling. Let's talk about wrestling.
Yeah, let's talk about wrestling.
All right. So, the year of 2012 is officially over.
Yeah, as of today.
Yeah.
We're recording this on New Year's.
Yep.
So, woohoo.
So, we can officially say that these are the best and worst things of 2012. Nothing else can sneak in on the New Year's Eve
episode. Yeah, because we didn't want to be like those other lames that, you know, did awards and best ofs, you know, while it was still 2012.
Yeah,
like, it was still
with 2012 footage left.
Granted, you know, there were only pre-taped Raws, which were absolutely crap, but that's not the point.
No.
It's
honor and integrity here.
Honor and integrity, which is what Classy Ring Attire is all about.
Yes, it is. So, shall we jump in to our
Let's jump in head first. Let's say some of the bigger ones, like the Superstar Match of.
Yeah, those are our closers.
Let's go, Best Return.
Best Return? It's got to be Paul Heyman for me.
But yeah, well, I mean, well,
it's got to be Paul
little,
Heyman
we're
for
little,
me.
We're a little biased on that one, because we were actually in the audience for it.
And
that's something we can hold over everyone's head, like, yeah. We were there. Well, obviously, Rock doesn't count,
yeah.
Because technically he came back.
He had returned earlier.
Yeah. And so, really, that leaves Brock, Paul Heyman, Tensai / Albert. And then, you know, everyone that showed up for Raw 1000.
Yeah.
So, in that case, I'm going to go Mae Young's hand.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Worst return, what would you say?
Worst return. I'm gonna probably the worst, like the event return, I'm gonna say the worst one was Brock Lesnar because the audience ruined it.
Yeah,
that whole return just felt like
it felt, at least from because we watched it,
yeah.
And I remember that night actually because that was the night that our power went out. We didn't get to watch Raw live.
Oh, yeah.
And so
yeah.
We were waiting around. It was, you know, cruel for us because it was the night after WrestleMania and we're just like, okay, we really want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And that happened at the end and it just wasn't.
That's the thing, is that should have been an amazing return.
You know what? I think I'm gonna agree with you on this.
Like, I should have been peeing my pants.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience. And here's the thing. You were amazing at WrestleMania 28, and you're probably 90% the same audience.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and that audience was fantastic.
Yeah.
Except for that one moment.
But you ruined Brock Lesnar's return.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I had something else in mind for that, but I'm going to agree with you and then use that for a different award.
Okay.
Which we're going to go with now. The biggest disappointment of the year. From a standpoint of, you know, stuff that we'd heard might happen, never actually came to fruition, stuff along those lines, or just, you know, just anything disappointing, really.
All right. You want to do yours first?
Tensai. Just because they were like, they had such high hopes for him coming back and being, you know, they did. And I had heard, you know, oh, he's doing so well in Japan. He's, you know, such a huge star over there, and he's greatly improved. So I was like, okay, well, maybe this, you know, there's something to it. And he comes out and just completely just drops a deuce right on on the wrestling mat. And it's just, to be honest with you, I'm surprised that he's still employed. But
yeah.
I figured they would have let him go by now.
Yeah.
Looks like they're trying to do something comedic with him now. But
I saw the Future Endeavor class of 2012. And I was like, wow, he didn't make it.
I know, like, pretty much everyone, the only people that left the company were people who left...
Divas. The Divas division got a huge hit. Gutted this year.
And a lot of them were just on their own... and that's pretty much all the anyone who left the company. It was just on their own, and it was like a amicable split. Nothing, you know, unexpected, really.
Yeah.
Because we heard that it was going to be a huge purge. Never happened.
Yeah.
Never happened.
So, we'll see next year. My, like, biggest disappointment, it's a like a very personal one for me, which, not like emotionally personal, but like,
you can let your emotions
It's
out.
One that I think a lot of people are going to disagree with, but for me, it's Ryback.
Disappointment?
Just because I love Skip Sheffield so much as part of...
I was about to say, like, Ryback's taken off.
No, he is.
A lot
more
than we thought.
Although
he's cooled off lately now.
But he's not gelling with me, the Goldberg feed me more gimmick.
Very one-sided, yeah.
Yeah, it's not, and I was so behind Skip Sheffield, and I was so ready for him to come back and be a top contender. So, yeah, it's disappointing to me, and it's kind of like it just... disappointment, but...
Right. Nothing tragic.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is my disappointment of the year.
All right. Let's go most improved.
Most improved? Seriously? Dolph Ziggler.
Really?
He is most improved last year, and he's my most improved again this year. He is just, like, excelled.
From January to December.
Most improved Dolph Ziggler again.
I'm going to say bullcrap to that. Because you know where he was in January? Having a WWE Championship match, okay? The real most improved has to be Daniel Bryan. Sure, he was heavyweight champion.
Yeah, he was an actual champion.
No,
you wouldn't even
he wasn't, but we're talking like as far as over with the fans. He wasn't nearly as over as he was after 18 seconds.
Yeah, he hadn't invented the yes.
And now he's just a... Because like, even in January... With the belt on, it's like, okay, well, this might not... After he loses the belt, we don't know what'll happen to him. It probably won't do much with him, and he might not even be with the company much longer. And now he just seems like he's a staple in the company now.
See, now, here's the thing.
I can't say the same about Dolph Ziggler. He's great, and
I think in-ring quality-wise, he was amazing in January, and he has just increased tenfold throughout the year. And... Last year, he was going against the champion, but now he's going against John Cena, which in WWE's eyes is a bigger deal, and you know it. So,
okay,
they have more faith in him now than they did.
You know who else went up against John Cena? John Laurinaitis. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, they have a lot of faith in John Laurinaitis.
Not anymore. Fired the guy.
Yeah,
Well, not fired him. They demoted him.
They demoted him to in-ring talent. And then stopped having him be in the ring.
Then like, you can do payroll now. I think that's literally what he's doing. He's doing payroll.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he had to get like arm surgery not too long ago.
Oh, people power, what happened to you?
He just raising that arm with that number one finger, that one finger it did too so much to his arm, he just couldn't take it. And now let's do the flip side of that, the biggest downfall for this year.
Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
Zack Ryder. Kane killed him in February, and that was it.
Yeah. It was either him or Randy Orton. Randy Orton did not have a good year at all.
Randy Orton did not have a good
year. He was barely in the ring this year, you know?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
But even Zack Ryder was probably in the ring more than him.
He might have been. He certainly might have been. But here's the thing. Randy Orton's gonna come back.
Right. Oh, yeah. Saw that in the latest Christmas episode that...
Yeah.
Coming back from his latest injury.
Yeah, Randy is safe, popularity-wise, standing with the company-wise. Zach might never be where he once was.
No. Yeah. So, at least with Randy Orton, we'll know that WWE is going to give him another chance.
I think there will be a belt around Randy Orton before he retires again. I don't know if there will be another non-internet championship belt around Zack Ryder. Yeah.
The best turn, either heel or face.
The best turn. I would say the one I'm, like, most excited about is Miz.
Yeah. And see, that was the thing. Like, it was very subtle. Like,
yeah.
It was not real one moment that
it was,
happened.
It was a...
Which is kind of what the crowd still seems to be a little bit confused about. Same thing with Del Rio. But...
Yeah, I don't know where Del Rio stands.
Right.
Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do when Del Rio comes out.
No, not at all. I don't know what would be the best for me.
Really? It was your category.
I know it was my category, and I really should have put a lot more thought into this than I did. Because Punk's... It felt like Punk's heel turn, they planned it out to be a bigger deal than what it ended up being.
Yeah.
Like, they were expecting that one moment that he hit Rock at Raw 1000. That was the big moment. That turned him heel. And in some eyes, it did, but not really to us.
That's the thing, like, we didn't care. Until he refused to wrestle in Chicago, that was the first time. I was like, you are now a heel.
And he's a great heel, so you know what? I'll just go with that, you know.
He's a great heel. I don't want to boo him, though.
No. I mean, it just doesn't really have to go along with, oh, we have to boo him, or we're going to boo him because he's a bad guy or anything.
Yeah,
storyline-wise, it made sense for him.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, but what I mean by that is, like, the face, you know, faces in the WWE are so, there's only one kind of face.
Mm-hmm.
There's this John Cena, Sheamus face that,
right.
You know, if you're a face, you're this.
In everyone's eyes, and everything that he does is kind of tongue-in-cheek, even if it's something that's completely heel move.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know, attacking Ziggler for no reason.
Yeah. No. And we're expected to cheer for it because of his face. And CM Punk was a better face. And that's what the company needed. And Team Friendship's kind of doing that right now.
Yeah.
Which is nice. But that's why, like...
You know what? Yeah, I'm gonna take mine back. I'm going to go with Team Friendship for the best turn. Because the fact that the moment those two got put together and everything that happened, and what happened out of that, pretty much turned them face.
Yeah.
Whether the company wanted to or not. I'll go with that.
All right. Fair enough.
That'll be worst face or heel turn of the year. I don't think Alicia Fox really applies to this category because she goes back
and forth. I was like, I don't know what she is. She's
exactly.
Like, oh, we have an odd number of people in our Divas tag match.
Let's have her be whatever opposite of the team that has more.
I mean, I feel like my obvious answer is Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I would go Big Show, but I'm really liking heel Big Show right now.
Right now, yeah.
Like, it's taken along. And it feels like we got heel turn Big Show, which saved us from having Tensai in the main event.
Right.
Which kind of makes up for it.
So basically, he's Batman.
Yeah. No. He's not the heel that we need.
It's a valid point. I'm going to have to go with Del Rio because it just seems like they don't really know how to turn him face. Because
I don't know what to do about it.
And it's like he doesn't even know what to do himself. He's like, I'm supposed to, you know, gain people's respect and trust because I'm nicer to Ricardo, but I'm not really that much nicer to him. You know, it's just...
Yeah.
And that's something I really noticed, this past Christmas episode, because, you know, they had the backstage segment between him and Ricardo, and he doesn't really come off as warm and receptive at all. And that, I think that's what they were trying to go for with his relationship with Ricardo.
Well, the thing is, you know, he was a face all before he came to WWE.
Right.
And that's the first time he's,
like, had a mask.
Been heel. Yeah. So
it's a lot easier to be a good guy without having to shake your face.
Yeah.
I'm
curious as to what he, you know, what he's reacting to, like, trying to be a face now.
Right.
So, but we'll see.
Let's go with this. You're going to have to explain the title after I announce
it. Right.
The Mark Henry Memorial Award.
All right. The Mark Henry Memorial Award is in honor of Mark Henry's career in late 2011, when...
And all of a sudden he became awesome.
Yes. When Mark Henry, who was, like, great Kali levels of horrible. I didn't want to see him on my television.
Yep.
Suddenly became one of the best things in the company.
Yep.
So the Mark Henry Award.
Which you called the Mark Henry Memorial.
The Mark Henry Memorial Award.
Completely alive, healthy, and kicking, you know. But okay.
The Mark Henry Memorial Award goes to the moment or event that should have, on paper,
been horrible.
Been totally horrible, and yet was amazing and awesome.
Okay.
So, what's your Mark Henry Memorial Award?
You don't have one, do you?
No, I have one. Go for it.
You go first.
No, you go.
I'm still thinking.
Oh. Okay. How is it not? Because there's only one answer to this.
Okay.
It's Kane getting inserted into the middle of a Daniel Bryan CM Punk feud that's going amazingly. Why would you stick Kane in the middle of that? Oh, wait a minute. It's fantastic and has resulted in team friendship.
You know what? I wasn't so much against it. I didn't think it was a bad idea.
Oh, I thought that was okay. I thought
that
was the worst thing that really? They could have done at the time.
Okay. The basis for this award is how strong your feelings were the moment this was announced. Whatever your choice is.
I'm saying, basically, when they finally, you know, they announced basically, you know, completely pandering to the internet that they are going to have CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan for the WWE right. Championship. But Kane's also in it.
Right, and given Kane's recent work
before that. And that was right after Kane was off the embrace the hate mode.
Right. And he was just finishing up the Randy Orton thing.
Yeah, so I was not caring for Kane at the time.
Fair enough. I didn't think it was a horrible move. I wasn't
a
fan of it, but
add to the fact that they're also pitching. Also, Kane has another girlfriend, and those storylines always work out fantastically.
True.
No, everything on paper about this whole thing sounded terrible.
All right.
It came out so good.
Okay. See, I'm having a hard time. I have two choices, and maybe if I... I'll bring them out both, and after we discuss it, we can come to
air your grievances.
Okay. The one that I really wanted to go towards is Antonio Cesaro. I did not like him at all when he came out. Nope. He annoyed the crap out of me. And eventually, you know, seeing more and more of his ring work kind of brought me over on him. I still hate the character.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why I don't feel completely strongly about it now.
Right.
Maybe I'm still in the middle of that phase. But I did completely despise his character at first. My other choice would be TLC.
Yeah.
Because I thought TLC was going to be the worst piece of garbage. And it actually became one of the better pay-per-views of the year.
Yeah. I say you go with TLC.
That's what I'm leaning
towards. And here's the thing about Cesaro.
That's why I was going to lean towards that. Because I felt completely strongly that it was terrible. And now I feel completely strongly the other way. It's more of a drastic change for me.
No, I remember the moment we found out that the TLC match was just going to be a no disqualification match.
And this was after me and you literally like pranced around my apartment in glee that, you know, we were going to get a tag team TLC match.
Yeah.
And that's all we knew. And then, because we just saw that headline and we went crazy. And then like 5 minutes later, we clicked on that headline and read more.
After we had done the celebratory lap.
After we did the celebratory lap, came back and we're like, all right, let's see who's involved in this. Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it all suddenly just came completely.
No, and that seriously ended up being a match of the year contender for me.
Oh yeah, same here.
So yeah, no, I'll accept that.
Okay, so I'm gonna go. My Mark Henry Memorial Award goes to the TLC pay per view.
Okay.
All right, now the we have to have a
flip side.
I'm the Sin Cara Award, something that was supposed to be billed as something fantastic, and end up completely being terrible.
Yeah.
I don't want to give everything to Tensai. That's my one dilemma. I really don't want to give everything to Tensai.
God, Tensai was just such a black mark on the year.
He really was.
And I... My first indication was to give it to Once in a Lifetime.
Really?
Just because I didn't...
Because you're mad that there might be a Twice in a Lifetime?
No, it's because it's because the buildup was so high.
Right.
But, I mean,
one, but nothing can live up to that, though.
That, I know. That's the thing. It's like, I was like, according to the buildup, this should have been the single greatest match
ever.
Ever to exist inside of a ring.
Since Hulk and Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, which was the last time they built something up to that.
Yeah. But I've decided what my thing is going to be, the complete and total flop, terrible thing of the year, is the Rock and Cena Once in a Lifetime DVD release.
Oh, God. Explain, I guess.
It's a DVD with one WrestleMania match and that terrible
documentary
that aired on USA. And the fact that they decided that this was worth producing as a complete and separate thing for people to buy just is... And part of it is, you know, what... Because I do feel like, you know, in the idea of the greatest rivalries, which should be a series with the Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart,
right.
I feel like this is, like, the... complete failure of that idea.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
So that's my Sin Cara award of the year goes to the Once in a Lifetime DVD.
I'm gonna go Brodus Clay. We were so about him in January or February whenever he debuted,
yeah,
or re-debuted, and now he's just. I mean, I don't know where we thought he was going, but he went nowhere.
The thing is, we didn't care.
We didn't care, and we were like, okay, well, they'll give him a storyline soon, right? Nope. I don't think he's been involved in a single storyline this entire year.
Little tiny one with Damian Sandow.
Yeah, tiny one with Damian Sandow. It seemed like he had a really small one with Dolph.
Yeah.
Like, towards the early parts of this year. But other than that, nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So, I, you know. Let's go Diva of the Year. I think we can pretty much agree on that.
AJ?
Has to be AJ.
AJ. Yeah, no.
Just no one's done more for their own career this year
than
she has. Like, she took a sidekick role with Daniel Bryan and blew it up into now she's, you know, a mainstay. And, you know, she's on TV every week, on Raw every week.
Yeah.
You know, that's already put her ahead of Zack Ryder.
Yeah. unless she total bombs everything in 2013, she will be, like, in the levels of Stacey Keibler and Trish status.
Right, and she, not even as a wrestler.
No.
She has, you could probably count on both your hands the amount of matches she's had this year, and we're okay with that.
But as a personality.
As a personality, she's... She's a good, I think, you know, honestly do, as much as I hated the storyline, she's a good person opposite of Vicky.
Yeah.
I think they balance each other out pretty well.
Yeah. So
there's that.
Yeah.
Worst Diva of the Year, do you have a strong preference?
Worst Diva of the Year? I don't know, I can tell you worst Diva event of the year is getting rid of Maxine.
Oh, yeah, that was the... That, well, that could be biggest disappointment, too.
Yeah.
Getting rid of Maxine, because I had really high hopes for her, especially seeing her NXT work as a personality.
Yeah.
I mean, and her match, her ring work wasn't bad.
Yeah. The thing, I have a hard time actually being, like, worst Diva of the Year, just because if I have a worst Diva of the Year, it's probably because she hasn't gotten any screen time, you know?
Oh, I have a worst Diva of the Year, and then someone who's got plenty of screen time.
Who is it?
Rosa Mendez.
Oh, really?
The chick doesn't even know Spanish.
Okay, fair enough. Like, mine was going to be Tamina, and I had to think about it. I was like, there's no reason that Tamina, she's genuinely talented in the ring.
Yeah.
And she just
hasn't gotten, she got that small chance against AJ.
She gets weird half pushes every now and then, you know, and.
Because she got around the same time last year.
Yeah.
She got a weird.
And she gets this weird, push. Like, she got this weird little, like, fixation with Santino.
Then she went away for a while, came back and she had like one Divas Championship match earlier this year, like way earlier this year, and then we pretty much didn't see her at all, at least on the main shows, until recently.
She was in like bodyguard mode.
Bodyguard mode, and she had that one match that we saw, well, I saw in Greensboro against AJ, and that's the last we really seen. Yeah. Well, we saw her, you know, in the Divas Battle Royal, and ooh.
Yeah, so, that, so like, I don't, she was my pick originally, but I don't want to give her that. I don't right. think, they I don't think she that. Has been poor enough to deserve that.
So, I'm just going to say Rosa Mendez.
So, I'll take Rosa Mendez, but.
Because she doesn't even know Spanish. I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of times where you just said something about a chicken. I don't know. My Spanish is very rusty.
As is Rose's.
As is Rose's. Very, very, yeah. Let's go video package of the year. This is my category. I feel more strongly about this because I really, really dug the No Way Out promo for AJ, Kane, CM Punk, and Daniel Bryan. It was a, you know, the editing, as always, was spot on. The music selection, I thought, was fantastic. And as well as, like, After Effects, as far as visuals and stuff like that, it was really good.
Yeah, mine...
It struck a chord with me.
Mine's a little bit of a cop-out, but it's the video package that opened up Raw 1000. It's the...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, is, like... It's one of those things that it just...
Oh, yeah, it
got me right in the feels.
All the feels.
And, it, you know, it's supposed to do that, and, like...
And that's really, to be honest with you, it should have been a close second to that should have been Jerry Lawler's, like, promo they did just before he returned.
Yeah.
But then we got the CM Punk promo.
Oh, right
after that.
Oh,
that right, kind of, right. I don't know, you kind of made you forget about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That and the fact that his heart attack just got so many awards this year.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to give him another award.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But, yeah. That's I completely forgot about that. Good call.
Yeah.
Worst one.
Oh, I have an absolutely worst
okay,
one.
Okay, let me hear that.
The one where Brock Lesnar said piss.
You know what? And not to outdo him, but a somewhat similar promo was when got heel Big Show, leading up to his match with
yeah.
Cena. That was pretty bad. It was his interview, but yeah, the. That was a really bad one. It might...
Like, it was a bad one. They showed it so much.
They showed it all year.
And, like, I credit that little
I'm
segment.
I'm more worried about what's running down John Cena's leg. Pause. More pause. What's running down his leg? Piss! Oh! Thank you for clearing that up.
Now...
I love the look on his face. Like, his eyes are wide. He's like, piss!
Now, silver lining... I am pretty sure that is the sole reason we have Paul Heyman now.
Yeah.
Because like, they saw that video package and was like,
he was like, we can only edit this so many times, guys.
So, no, that's easily my worst video package of the year.
Understandable. Let's see. Storyline of the year. Or no, wait. Yeah, let's do that.
Storyline of the year? I gotta go with the formation of Team Friendship.
Formation of Team Friendship, yeah, I don't have to go with you on that one, just because it just seemed like
it was.
There was no way they could mess that up with those video packages and everything.
So entertaining,
absolutely
every week.
Absolutely, it's one of those things where everyone involved was in completely.
Yeah,
you know, everyone was dedicated to this, and it was fantastic.
No,
I completely agree.
Genuine lightning in a bottle, like.
Oh, yeah. And I guess let's do the worst storyline.
I gotta go with, affair, the John Cena AJ.
That was worse?
Scandal. Then what's your worst storyline?
Everything involving John Laurinaitis.
I like John Laurinaitis, remember?
Okay, well, let's see, John Cena and John Laurinaitis leading into Over the Limit, and Over the Limit itself. Which also brought out,
I mean,
bad Big Show.
It may be the worst match of the year, yeah. But, no, see, this is one where it's like the I sent myself the text from last year. Where it's just like those tiny little pieces of, you know, information that trickle out. And you're like, how do you have, like, backup security footage? Like, the one camera that has backup security footage. Like, that is not backup security footage. It's just security footage. It's one camera. I'm going to have to go back and listen to this, make sure I didn't swear at any point when we're talking about these worst of the years.
I think
they're getting me so riled up.
I'm my bad. Let's go spot of the year.
Do you have a spot of the year?
Yeah, I've got two where I'm kind of, but I'm pretty sure I'm
on the top. Go for it.
The one where I had to at least consider it was the Kofi handstand
from Rumble. Kofi handstand has to be considered.
And that's one of the challenges for making these lists is you almost forget the stuff that happened at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
There's that. Another one I just thought of was Dolph Ziggler. Like, it was his championship match against CM Punk. Punk had him up, about to do the GTS, lifted him up, and he reversed it into a DDT midair or something like that.
It was
something along those lines. Yeah. I remember that moment specifically. I mean, there's a bunch of moments in the CM Punk Dana Bryan match from Over the Limit.
Any moment,
right?
CM Punk Dana Bryan.
But I'm gonna have to go with that bump that that Seth Rollins took off that ladder at TLC. I can't help but to give that to him.
Yeah, no.
Like, anytime you legit bang your head on something like that, you got to give it up to him.
Yeah. Mine goes to anonymous cameraman guy who managed to get that awesome pan up in the end of an era match at WrestleMania where he was standing on the hammer. You remember that?
Okay. Yeah.
God, it was so good. Like, it's, you know, not a spot, but it's an great spot.
It's a great shot
of emotional storytelling.
Fair enough.
And that's the thing is, like, you know, so much of, like, the build up to that match was this, like, end of an era. Three guys, you know, have been through so much together, you know, final last stand.
They've seen some stuff.
Yeah. That very specific one moment was so all-encompassing of that to me. And it was captured with some pretty awesome cinematography by this random cameraman.
Along with some Metallica.
So, well done, anonymous cameraman. You get my classy for this.
All right. So, what's your worst spot of the year?
Yeah, I mean, you said it before we started recording. It's Tensai messing up.
Yeah, Tensai sandbagging people.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to give every award to Tensai, but as far as, like, all my worst awards, but
yeah,
when you fit the bill, you know, I can't help it. Let's go with pay-per-view of the year.
Pay-per-view of the year.
It's going to be difficult this year because we had a lot of good, solid. This is probably one of the best years of pay-per-views that I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
At least within the past 5-6 years.
Yeah. Well, the thing that makes it so difficult is, like, you know, each pay-per-view kind of has a hiccup in it. So, like,
right.
Over the Limit totally has it, except that's also seen in Lauren Endis.
Right.
So, but my pay-per-view, it's going to be Survivor Series.
Okay.
I think Survivor Series was just so solid, and I said it to you when we were watching it.
Yeah.
Just every match clicked for me in Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And that Survivor Series match, like, was
really good. Really good.
And it debuted the Shield.
Yeah.
So Survivor Series is my pay-per-view of the year.
I'll have to agree with you. I thought Hell in a Cell was good. It was okay. As far as the top one, yeah. Survivor Series fired on all cylinders. TLC pretty much fired on all cylinders too. But I think I gave TLC pay-per-view of the year last year too.
I think you're just like the most recent pay-per-view.
I know, that's why I'm trying to avoid this. You know what? In spite of how horrible Cena and Laurinaitis is, I'm going to give it to Over the Limit. We started with a Battle Royal, which I just, you know, it's a poor man's Royal Rumble, which I'm always okay with.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, that championship match was good enough. And, you know, we got a lot of decent matches out of that. We had the Fatal 4-Way for the Heavyweight Championship was
right.
Fantastic.
Right.
You know,
that's the one we could have gone to, man.
It's the one we could have gone to.
That goes down as my biggest regret this year, I think.
So really, to be honest with you, it really comes down to, now that I've really thought about it, it really comes down to Over the Limit and Extreme Rules, because Extreme Rules, it was really good beginning to end, most part. Because Extreme Rules, we also got Oops Face.
Yeah, we did. So. We did. It's interesting to point out, like, I know for me, and I'm assuming for you, that you're almost trying not to give it to WrestleMania, because WrestleMania feels like a cop-out.
It's so hard not to do that this year, because WrestleMania was really good this year.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing, is like, I kind of feel like it has to be WrestleMania. Just, you know,
yeah.
Even when WrestleMania sucks, like last year WrestleMania sucked, and like the more I think about it, yeah. WrestleMania sucked, and it was still a contender.
No, oh, yeah.
Just because it's WrestleMania, just because right. The prestige of WrestleMania.
See, that's the thing, that's another
thing. And same with, like, the Rumble, like, just because of the Rumble match, like, Rumble's always a contender.
Yeah, and Rumble, and, you know, the Royal Rumble was pretty good, because, yeah. Like, just on that match alone, we got the entire Royal Rumble, and then we pretty much got a Sheamus and Chris Jericho match at the end, which ended up really good, because that was almost a full-length match.
Yeah. So, but...
Now I have three contenders.
Yeah.
Now it's WrestleMania, Extreme Rules, and Over the Limit.
I mean, it's...
I'm gonna have to go Extreme Rules.
All right.
Solid, all the way through. You're same as you said for Survivor Series. Worst pay-per-view of the year.
Worst pay-per-view
of the
year.
To me, it comes down to really the only two bad pay-per-views. Only two bad pay-per-views in my eyes.
I'm going SummerSlam.
And see, that's the thing. I can't really... Like we said time and time again throughout this whole year, there's not really one moment to point to SummerSlam on why it was so bad.
It's just... Then that's the thing. Part of it is, you know, SummerSlam, you have a reputation. When you're SummerSlam, you have to be a little bit better than everything else.
Yeah, but they're also wanting to be a little bit more showy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the...
I mean, there's always music at SummerSlam.
Well, right. About. But there's always, like, more, like, flashy matches, like, stuff that looks good on billboards, you know? But not necessarily stuff that's going to actually be decent matches, you know?
And
the ending, like we said, like, the ending for Triple H and Brock was eh.
Yeah. And that's another thing, is you only get so much Brock Lesnar, you need to have him in, you know, 4-star matches.
Yeah.
Every time. He's been in 2 matches in 2012.
Right.
So, to justify him being Brock Lesnar, you need to have him.
The only other pay-per-view that is in contention for me for this is Elimination Chamber. Just because it's the only one where the timing of the matches seems so weird, you know?
Yeah.
And it made Elimination Chamber match boring for me. Which is weird, because I love Elimination Chamber matches, but that World Heavyweight Championship match was really boring.
Bad Khali.
And it came down to Santino and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
You know? And Santino at times looked like he could get it.
Yeah, I know. I thought Santino was going to be world heavyweight for a little bit.
Just for the simple fact that I can point to specifics, I'm going to go with the Elimination Chamber.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah, those were definitely fair. The bottom two.
Yeah.
Let's go with... all right, we're down to two
all more. Right. So you're going to do Superstar of the Year and then Match of the Year?
Yep, let's do that. Superstar of the Year.
CM Punk.
It has to be.
CM Punk.
The guy who's held the championship every day.
He's only been the champ. He's been the only champion this year.
Yeah, there's no question.
Beyond no question. Every pay-per-view match he's in is a contender for Match of the Year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, no, CM Punk. Mm-hmm. So, that's like so beyond no question. I think he was last year too, wasn't he?
Probably, like, just because he did so much for himself.
Yeah.
Like, he just helped himself the year before. But this year, he's been champ the entire year. Like, it's hard not to give this award to someone who's been a champion for the entire year.
I mean, here's the thing, is, you know, there's a very good chance it's going to be CM Punk next year. Between now and 2015, because he's talking about retiring in 2015, I kind of expect CM Punk to be, you know... Superstar of the Year between now until he retires. And so, like, I was like, well, like, no, I gave it to him last year. I don't want to, but...
You can't.
It's just, it's not a question.
It's hard to argue against it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so unquestionably CM Punk, Superstar of the Year.
So, your worst Superstar of the Year?
Sensei.
Really?
Yeah. He's won so many of the other ones. It's...
Yeah.
It's you know, and a guy who comes out, like, here's the thing, like, he and Ryback basically came out with the same superhuman destructor of all things only Ryback started at the bottom and built his way to the top and has exploding fans. And Tensai came out at the top crushing John Cena and has fallen down to tripping at the Slammies. So, like, to watch both of those guys have careers that passed each other going in opposite directions.
Right.
Like that, yeah, no.
Yeah, the one, again, is one of the things that's hard to argue against it.
And it's the point where, like, I'm not even, like, mad at Tensai anymore.
No, just because, you're in a bad situation yourself, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, so, but...
I mean, you know, there's that, and then there's, you know, superstars with the worst luck of the year, which would be, you know, Randy Orton.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to really, give that to anyone else.
Great Khali is always your contender. Like,
right, but that's more of my own. Great Khali and Rey Mysterio are always a top contender for me, just because I hate both of them.
But Rey Mysterio has genuine in-ring talent.
I don't know about anymore.
He's a little old, right. But he can bounce around a ring.
Sure.
Great Khali can't.
True.
Great Khali can't referee a match.
Yeah, he didn't even go down to the mat to count out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even Sin Cara has had better days.
Yeah.
In 2012 than Tensai has. Trent Beretta, where's he been? Kurt Hawkins.
I mean,
how many times have Kurt Hawkins been fed to both Brodus Clay, Ryback, and Tensai this year?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I guess you could pick somebody who has been featured in Endeavored. I guess they had a worse 2012 because Tensai is still there.
Well, yeah, Tyler Rex. But then again, it was on his own terms.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to say Tensai too.
I mean, yeah, no.
I tried to play devil's advocate, but I just can't.
I can accept a Great Khali just because of kind of like standard Great Khali problems, but this year, just watching Tensai, not click in any type of way.
Yeah.
He's had a bad year.
Oh, yeah. So I guess we move on to match of the year. And before you say anything, I think I know what it is already.
We got to do... Yeah. Do you have a worst match of the year? I mean, I'm gonna.
If I'm gonna think while we're talking about
this. I'm gonna give it to John Cena, John Laurinaitis.
Right.
Like, I feel that's no question.
The Divas match from WrestleMania, featuring Maria Menounos.
Yeah. All right.
That one was pretty bad. But I know what your best match of the year is gonna be. I already know it. I'm gonna call it now.
Yeah.
That chairs match between Sheamus and Big Show. Am I right? You're just like the WWE Universe, yeah?
With the giant chair.
Totally.
Do you really know? Because I declared it when it happened, and it's going to end up being that match.
The Survivor Series match?
No.
No?
The Survivor Series. That was a contender.
You did declare it at
the time. That was a contender. I declared a lot.
Okay. I'm going to go with your most recent declaration then. TLC?
No, not TLC.
What's your
match of the year?
Over the Limit.
CM Punk and Daniel Bryan Over the Limit. Mine, it's gonna be...
It's either a CM Punk and Daniel Bryan match. It's either that one or, the Money in the Bank.
Yeah. I'm gonna, like, and I spent a lot of time, like, going over, because there was a lot of contenders this year.
Oh, yeah.
And I gotta give it to Cena and Brock Lesnar, Extreme Rules.
Okay.
It just...
Yeah, there was a lot of, symbolism in that match.
Yeah.
From an analytical standpoint.
Like, no, Cena comes out with the chain.
Yeah.
Like, you know, harking back to olden days, the last time he fought Brock Lesnar.
True.
Brock looks like a UFC guy. Mm-hmm. He fights like a UFC guy. There's
hardly any trace of wrestling. I don't want to say talent or ability, but you know that
style.
Yeah, there's no trace of that anymore. It's all UFC style now.
Yeah, so there's like genuine symbolism in this match. John Cena gets ripped open.
Oh, yeah.
It's the first time Extreme Rules actually kind of felt like Extreme Rules.
Yep.
You know, they always say it, and you're like, not really.
No,
not really. That's cute, you think.
Big Show sort of accidentally stepped through a table that, you know, ooh, so, it's extreme.
But no, Cena got busted.
Oh, yeah.
Open. It was, you know, and the thing is, this comes off of, you know, this comes off of Cena's loss with The Rock, and that was a genuine, where do you go from here?
Right.
Because they very much put this guy who's going to be on two episodes over the next year over the guy that, you know, chills for the company.
Yeah.
So, that, you know, that's the thing. It was like, you know, whatever you say about Cena, it seemed like the wrong creative decision to go with to keep that torch squarely in Rock's hand.
Oh, yeah.
So, and they, you know, they just, they're, it did feel like that was, you know, that brought it back for John Cena. You know, Brock was going to not be there after that for a long time anyway, so... Right. You know, it, as much as, you know, it might have hurt Brock's ability, I think he's going to be fine. And it was just like, it was a match, and it's one of the few matches that I did not know what the outcome was going to be. And just watching Cena get beat down for so long.
Yeah.
Just, it really, it, and at the end of the day, like, and that was one, you know, at the time I was like, that match has got to be match of the year. And over time, I was like, no, I got to, you know, take a step back. And all these other great matches have happened. And so, but going back to it, watching again.
Right.
It's a good match.
Fair enough.
So, there you go. Match
solid,
of the year.
Solid choice.
Yeah. All right. Those are your classies.
Those are your classies.
Yeah. We want to take a quick look back at 2012. So, for those interested in these stats, Sheamus fought in more matches than anybody else. Thought it was going to be John Cena.
I can believe it.
But in fact, Sheamus, Daniel Bryan, Big Show, Kane, Kofi, Dolph, CM Punk all had more matches than John Cena this year.
And, you know, say, let's see, Big Show, he's taken at least a couple months off this year, too.
Yeah.
Punk hasn't.
I mean, Cena did. He hurt his arm. So,
right. So he was out for at least...
While he was still there, he wasn't in matches. So
Santino, really.
Yeah. But some interesting things. You wanna guess which feud had the most matches in it? Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Sheamus and Del Rio.
Had 61 matches together.
Oh, dear Lord.
No wonder. Do you remember how long that felt? That was 61 matches. And Cena and Big Show had 54 matches.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I was like, and those, like, they're the ones that felt the longest.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think CM Punk and Daniel Bryan had that many matches again. They had 46 matches.
Yeah.
I didn't think they had that many matches against each other.
Well, this also, you know, this takes into account a lot of stuff, but...
Oh, okay.
However, something interesting I didn't think was going to happen. CM Punk has had more last matches of the night.
This is including Raw and everything.
Yeah, than John Cena. By a hefty margin. CM Punk with 111 and John Cena with 88.
Wow.
So, you know, we've complained about him never, you know...
Closing out a pay-per-view. He closed out almost... It seemed like almost every Raw this year.
Yeah. So, but that's 2012 for you.
It's
happy 2013. Before we go, do you have a New Year's resolution for us, Chris?
Oh, dear Lord, I wasn't even thinking about that. You go ahead.
My New Year's resolution, I'm gonna give TNA another chance.
You're gonna give TNA another chance.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get back into NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I think this is going to be...
Maybe even watch Main Event, finally.
Oh.
I still have not watched Main Event.
I've watched a few episodes of Main Event.
Okay.
Sorry, it's fine.
All
right. I mean, it's exactly what you think it is. You know? It still has big names. It hasn't superstars yet.
Fair enough.
But it's not... But, no, you know, storylines aren't decided on it. Here's the thing. The Beer Money Street Fight match from TLC was honestly a contender.
From TLC?
Hmm. from TNA. Sorry. That was honestly a contender for my match of the year.
All right.
It was such a good match.
Yeah, because I remember you talking about that one, yeah.
So, I think this is going to be a good year for them. I think they are headed in the right direction. Who knows what could happen next week.
Like, true enough.
Let me not stake too much on this claim. but yeah, I'm gonna check it out, see if I can really get into it. I mean, Austin Aries is there. He's, you know, pretty intense.
Yeah. He's pretty fantastic.
I got a pretty big soft spot for Jeff Hardy. So
alright.
I like Jeff Hardy as a kid, man. I look past a lot for Jeff Hardy.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I'm always gonna. You have those guys
that I'll look past anything for. I don't know about that.
Well,
but then again, I can't really think of anybody that.
I mean,
I've looked past, like, you know, substance abuse or criminal history. Or something.
I mean,
like that.
I'm not saying forgive him and let him be in the ring. No, if he needs to serve his time, he needs to serve his time.
Okay,
and you know the. You know about
right, to be fair, that's not the only reason why I dislike Jeff Hardy.
I mean,
his promos are horrendous.
But he was in that one match where Edge speared him off of the belt.
That really wasn't any of his doing. He fell with style.
Yeah, you know who else is my favorite? Mick Foley, who fell with style off of a cage. I'm a big sucker for people falling down.
No kidding.
From great heights.
By that logic, you must be a huge fan of the crap that fell on Ziggler and AJ on Christmas. Or New Year's.
No, but I like Ricardo Rodriguez, who also fell from a great height. It's basically the fastest way to my heart.
Fair enough, because you do like Evan Bourne.
I do! I love Evan Bourne!
Too bad you weren't a fan back in the day. You would have loved Shelton Benjamin.
Shelton Benjamin might be coming back.
Yeah, he might be coming back. Then he'll be your favorite.
All right. They need somebody to fill in those ladder matches.
Is that why you like Jomo?
Yeah, man.
Because he fell a lot?
Because...
from high distances?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, he gets the Spider-Man thing, but you forget, like, he had that amazing... The next pay-per-view was Elimination Chamber, and he, like, climbed up the top to the Elimination Chamber and was dropping from the top.
But it pretty much didn't serve any purpose. But he just fell.
Except for being awesome.
Except for the fact that he just fell.
Except for being
he
awesome.
He knew how to climb a fence and fall from it.
It was the spot of that pay-per-view. That was the thing. No, do you not remember? We talked about this when we were...
Pretty sure the spot of that pay-per-view was, Wait, no, I'm thinking about... Okay, I'm thinking about this year. Never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, because that's why at that time, I predicted John Morrison to be main eventing WrestleMania 28. Because he had the high spots in both the Rumble and the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, so. No, that's a terrible logic. Just because you have high spots in those kind of matches doesn't mean
they use you
in those matches.
But he had the amazing match with Miz for the championship before that.
Okay.
You know what? Well, once we bring up your things, you've never had to sit through looking at your year in advance predictions.
Fair.
Go horribly, horribly wrong.
True. I know my predictions are going horribly wrong, so I'm okay with it. I'm at peace with it.
No, I mean, it was a fantastic prediction at the time, but he had to whine about his girlfriend.
He had to whine about his girlfriend, and he just...
And so.
Yeah.
He'll be back.
Okay.
He'll be back. Trust me.
I've come to terms that Chris Masters is coming back. You're still holding on to Joe.
I can come to terms with that easy.
Of course you do. I'm not. I can't even. No.
In all honesty, objectively, if you thought one of them was coming back, who do you think would be coming back?
Out of just the two of them?
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on how many bridges Jomo burned.
That's fair. We don't know 100% the backstory.
Right. And Chris Masters, it could have just been a financial thing.
Yeah, I mean...
Because he was with a batch of other guys.
Yeah.
I think John Morrison was just on his own. Like, it was just a release and no one else
got well,
his. Chris Masters was... They released him, and they also released...
Kozlov
and a couple other people.
Yeah.
One of the Divas, I think.
Yeah. No, I think Chris Masters was a much more just creative has nothing for you I've seen a lot of reports that Jomo was like, you know, fairly, I'm ready to go, we're ready to let you go,
right,
kind of thing.
Well, yeah, well, so. I mean, that was the diva that got let go. She got let go.
Oh, Melina?
Melina got let go the same time as Chris Masters did.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was still fuming over that. Like, he agreed to play ball pretty much the rest of his contract, and then he was okay with leaving.
Yeah, so... All right, but we'll see. We'll see next year who's being like, yeah, Jomo came back, and who's being like, boo, I miss Chris Masters.
This time next year, Zach Bryan on top of the world.
All right.
In Ring of Honor.
All right. As
always. I like how you took a second.
trying to start a wrap up. Making fun of Zach Bryan. Remember that we have a Twitter at CR Attire. You should follow us every Monday.
Do it.
And the Sundays where it's appropriate. We will be posting plenty of wrestling comments, rants.
Mostly sass.
Etc.
If you have any email, questions, comments, concerns, anything you want us to bring up on the show, shoot us an email at classyringattire@gmail.com.
We also have a Tumblr. ClassyRingAttire.tumblr.com, where you can find old episodes of this podcast as well as other wrestling shenanigans.
And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Finally, we are on iTunes.
Yes.
Give us a rating.
5 stars.
Subscribe.
5 stars.
It'll be awesome. It'll help out the show. It'll help out you.
It'll help out everyone.
Yeah.
Mm.
Basically,
it's like bacon. You?
No.
It's exactly like bacon. Everyone loves bacon. Just go with it, Joel.
Until next time, stay classy. And huzzah.
And huzzah with bacon.